Happy New Year, everyone. This is Dave Sullivan, the River Coach. And yeah, it's New Year's Eve. 2022 is in the rearview mirror. Now we have to get ready for 2023. What's that going to look like? We may have a few changes. And what I've got today is a replay, because I'll tell you in a minute why. But we have got really one of my most popular episodes, the most downloaded episode from 2022. And that was the top 10 mistakes roofing contractors made in 2021. And the reason I'm replaying that, one, is because it was such a popular show. And two, I was going to do a new top 10 mistakes for 2022. But most of them were the same. And I'll tell you, I've had the flu lately. I am just dragging. So I had a tough time getting with John and putting this together. So I've just got to do a replay, repurpose an old show, which is not so bad because it's a great show and you're going to get a lot out of this. But one thing we talked about, 2021, we had too much work. We couldn't do all the work. Well, that may be changing this year. And the message this year is to keep the gas on the marketing. Do not back off the marketing. Be consistent. You're going to need that lead generation. That pie is going to shrink. There's going to be fewer opportunities, and you are going to have to work much harder to keep your piece of the pie. And that's a great segue to thanking our sponsors of the show. And our first one is Peak Leads. Because if you're in the commercial space or thinking about getting into commercial roofing, these are the guys to talk to. They will get you leads. They'll get you the type of leads that you have an opportunity to talk with the decision maker. They get you on those buildings that are hard to make contact with, and the owners, the decision makers. And this is what Peak Leads does a great job of. You got to check them out. They are will really help you get those leads, keep your piece of the pie, and get you the opportunities. Got a number of contractors that I work with that use them, and they're kicking butt. So contact them at peakleads.io. Set up a call with them and see what they can do for you. And next, we've got the Sales Transformation Group, because you can have all the leads in the world, but if you can't close them, it doesn't mean anything. And that's what Sales Transformation will do. They will teach you how to sell. They'll teach you how to sell with confidence. You'll get that close rate up, and that's how you're going to keep that piece of the pie. I'll tell you, you know, you've got to close more deals, and you need a good sales process. You need sales skills. And that's what the Sales Transformation Group will teach you. They've got a number of programs for all types of contractors. And I've got a number of contractors that work with them again, and they're great. They will teach you to sell. So check them out at salestransformationgroup.com/roofer show. All right, well, let's get into our show about the top 10 mistakes contractors made back in 2021. We're going to learn a ton from these because they haven't changed all that much. And I'll probably put another one together here in a few weeks and update that. And happy new year, everyone. Let's make 2023 our best year ever.
Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Everybody, what's up? Welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, the Roofer Coach, and I help roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and most importantly, have more free time. And on this show, I stress the point about having more free time because it's one of the biggest problems that roofing contractors have, one of the biggest complaints they have. And I saw this growing up. I was in a small roofing family roofing business, and my father was chained to the business. He worked weekends, long hours. And he always said, you know, at some point I'm going to get this thing rolling. I'm going to be able to take some time off. I'm going to do some of the things that I've been talking about doing. And then what happens? Unfortunately, he gets sick. He can't do those things. You know, it's funny. In life, you have the time when you're young to do the things, whatever it is, but you don't have the money. Then you're working in your career. Now you've got the money and you don't have the time. Finally, you get to that promised land of retirement, whatever, and you've got the money, you've got the time, but then you don't have the health. What's up with that? Now, I'm not the smartest guy around, but I was smart enough when I bought my father out of the business. I built a business that worked for me rather than me working in the business. And one of the most important things for me was to have free time because I grew up seeing him just not being able to spend time with his kids, doing the things, taking those vacations. Now, he was a great father, great man, but he just worked his ass off all the time. And I know that's not what he wanted to do, but he was too busy working in his business. So I wanted to do it differently. And I did. I'll get into this in a little while on what happened in my experience. But I ran this business for 30 years, took it from basically, you know, not making any money, little tiny company, to a pretty damn good sized business that was extremely profitable. I was able to exit at a young age. I was 52, was able to do some of the other things that I wanted to do. Now, what was important to me were two things. One was to be able to spend time with my kids as they were growing up. I had three boys, and not that I got the Father of the Year award last year, but hey, we did a lot of things, and I think I did a pretty damn good job raising these guys. Not that they wanted anything to do with the business, and I tell them, you missed a great opportunity, but they will find their success whatever they do. And the other thing that was important to me was being able to travel, being able to have the time off to travel the world, and I did that. And a lot of it is what I call adventure travel. I was able to ski the world. I've skied in a lot of countries, a lot of mountains. I've been skiing all my life, and we did a lot of trekking. We had a group that would go to various mountains, and we had a great time. And my business allowed me to do that. Not only was it able to give me the time to do that, but it gave me the funds to do that, the income to do that. And I was able to bring my kids with me on a lot of this. And another thing, great thing about this industry is that they've always got some conference somewhere around the world. So I would take one of my kids each year and go to whether it was the NRCA convention or they had shows all over the world. Each year in Germany, different city every year, they would have what's called the Dachenwand, and that's the roof and wall exhibition. It's the biggest one in Europe. And I would go to that and take one of my kids, go through the show, meet some great people, have places to go. The NRCA always had a booth there, so I was able to hook up with them. But I was able to accomplish both those goals because I had set up a business that worked for me. I had a destination. I had an end. This was the goal that I had set early on. And once we determined that, I was able to come back, build a roadmap to get me there. I didn't do that alone, though. I always had a business consultant, business coach, mentoring. I was in a lot of mastermind groups. All of these things helped me get to that destination because I wouldn't have been able to do it on my own because I tried. When I started off in this business, I continually screwed up. I almost tanked the, well, there are a lot of lean years there. So it took me a while. Like I say, I'm not the smartest guy, but I did learn a few things along the way. And that's what the show is all about. It's about sharing the experience of others. The smart guy doesn't learn from his own mistakes. He learns from the mistakes of others. So why are so many contractors working in their business, not on their business, making more money and having free time? Ego. Now, it does take a pretty big ego to run a successful business, but there is no way I'm going to ask for directions. I'm going to find that destination all by myself. So what happens? You end up driving around. Your spouse is screaming at you. And God damn it, I'll do it my way. And that's why contractors, they get stuck. So leave your ego at the door and open your mind, open your ears, and let's learn some things on how we can do it better. And we can learn these things from other people's mistakes, other people's experience. And that's a great lead-in, albeit a little long, but into today's show. And we're going to talk about the top 10 mistakes that I see roofing contractors make in 2021. I'm a business coach. I've coached a lot of contractors. I've seen a lot in my day. And we're going to talk about that because these are the same mistakes that I see over and over and over again. And you can learn from these and you can avoid them. You can make the journey a little easier. It's not easy. This is a tough, tough business, but it does make it easier when you learn from those mistakes and avoid those. If you can find a mentor, a coach that will lead you, say you're going up the mountain, well, you're gonna have a much better time, a more direct route if you use a guide to help you get there. It's just common sense. And if you like what you hear on this show, because it is all about having a good fit, I do business coaching for roofing contractors only. This is my specialty. This is what I know. And if you want help getting to your destination in 2022, I can help you get there. And that starts with just making a simple call, a free strategy call. Go to my website at theroofershow.com, go to the contact page, click on the big button, and set a time for a free call. We'll get on Zoom, talk about your business for a half hour, an hour, and see if I can help you. But you got to take action. Get some help getting there, whether it's with me or I can recommend you to a number of other great coaches out there, great educational programs that will really help you grow a more profitable business. But you've got to take action. You're sitting up in the stands. God damn it, 2022. Get down on the field and play the game and stop watching. Stop just listening to podcasts and watching YouTube videos. All right, well, let's get into today's show. And today I want to talk about a post that I wrote. I put it out in my newsletter this week. And if you're not subscribed to my newsletter, you're missing a lot of great information. You want to make sure that you go to theroofershow.com. You just drop your email in the box and you're going to get some great stuff. This is really the best tips that I come up with from talking to my guests. Also, a lot about what's going on in my coaching business, okay, the contractors that I'm working with, the mistakes that they're making and what we've done to prevent them. Also, what's the best in class? What are these guys doing right? And that's the kind of thing that we talk about. So be sure you're subscribed to that. But I wrote this post. It was called The Top 10 Mistakes That Roofing Contractors Made in 2021. And it's a theme that goes, really cuts across so many of the contractors that I work with, so many of the problems that I had when I was growing my business. And I think we can all relate to a lot of these things. And these are the mistakes that are being made over and over again. So we want to eliminate those things. Stop making these mistakes. And we can learn from these. So that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we do, I want to thank our sponsor, and that's Ruby Receptionists. You've heard me talk about Ruby. They're virtual receptionists. They answer the phone. And this could be the number one mistake the contractors make. You know, I didn't even include this in the list, but it's obvious. They don't answer the phone. And customers or prospects, they just get ticked off. So they are not going to leave a message. They're going to go on to another contractor where they can talk to a live person because they've got questions. They want to get answers. I'm working with one of the contractors last week, and we're looking at his website. And really, what we came up with on one of these pages of how we're different is simple. We answer our phone and return our calls and emails, period. If you just do that, you've eliminated over 50% of your competition, probably 80%, because how many times have you gotten a response from prospects saying, you know, I've called five contractors, but nobody ever answered the phone. Nobody ever called me back. It ticks people off. They leave you bad reviews. So get that phone answered, you know, and this is a simple way to do it, is to outsource it. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to worry about, you know, returning those calls that you've got this long list of. They take care of that for you. So check them out at callruby.com and see if it's right for you. But I'll tell you, it's working for a lot of the contractors that I work with. It's just one more thing that they don't have to worry about. All right, so I'm writing this post, and I start making my list. Well, I got a lot more than 10 things, 10 mistakes, and this list is getting longer and longer and longer. I'm going, I gotta hone this thing down, but these mistakes are so common. And it's tough to come up with 10. So I've got a few more. We'll see how long I can go on with the show today. But let's start off, and we'll try to keep the numbers down. Or maybe we'll do it in another show next week. But let's get going on that. Let's say number one. Here's the biggest problem that I see is contractor, get in the business and you don't know where you're going. And this is what I talk about in my business planning. You always start at the end and then you come back, reverse engineer a plan to get you there. So what I mean by that is it depends on a lot of things. Where is it that you want to go? What's your meaning of success? And you need to really understand that. And down the road, everyone is eventually going to sell their business, or they're going to close it down, or they're going to carry you out in a box, okay? But at some point, you're going to have your last day of work. And that's the long-term goal. What are you going to do? Maybe you've got kids that you want to bring into the business. Well, I see that all the time. However, they are not training their kids to take over this business. And I work with these family businesses. There's no way these guys are prepared to take over this business because they've got to run it profitably if the owner, the dad in many cases, is going to step away from the business and go sit at the beach and have these guys buy them out through profits in the company. If there aren't any profits through the company is worthless. Or if you're going to sell it to an outside buyer, what is it that has value? If this company is reliant on you, the owner, to do everything, and you're no longer there, this company is worthless. It has no value except a bunch of junky trucks and things that you can sell at auction. You've got to create, you've got to build a business that has value, that has processes, systems in place, has people, has crews that run efficiently and profitably. You've got to have strong financials that go back 3 to 5 years. This is what they're looking at. Is this a profitable business? Have you been able to remove yourself? Now, what I talk about constantly is the 2-week vacation. And that's how you start it off. Can you take 2 weeks off from your business? Or will your company fall apart? And that's what I get, so many answers. So when I start working with a contractor, that's one of our goals. I say, okay, next summer, where are you taking your family for their 2-week vacation? And we start there. That's our end goal. That's the end. How do we get us there? Well, we've got to build in the processes, the systems, the people, put them in place. That's how to get there. And whatever that is, it's different for everybody. You know, myself, hey, my goal, as I talked about, was to build a business that didn't rely on me, that I was able to step aside from so I could do the travels, the things that I wanted to do. I could spend time with my kids, watch them grow up, participate in their schools. That was my goal. Everybody needs to have a clear-cut goal. The why. Why are you doing this? Because if you don't know and have a passion for this and really be clear, you should go work for somebody else, because you can make a ton of money selling roofs, I'll tell you. So you really need to understand that, and that's a mistake so many contractors make. You know, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. Hey, like that. Yeah, so you've got to be clear on your destination. Then let's build a roadmap to get you there. Number two, and these are in no particular order of importance, but this is important, is the mistake so many contractors make. They really don't know what business they're in, so they don't know how to focus on their ideal customer. Who is that? And where do they hang out? Because I see so many contractors trying to be everything to everybody. They're doing windows, they're doing roofing, they're doing siding, they're doing basements. You know, I'll tell you, there are areas of your business, and we call these profit centers. That's four different profit centers. Where do you make your money? I mean, and I assure you, there's probably two areas that you're losing money and two areas that you're making money. And this was my experience that I talk about. We did residential, we did commercial, we did everything. Well, we dug down to it, and turns out we're losing money on the residential end, and we're making money on the commercial. But the residential was dragging us down. So what we did, we just bagged that residential division, shut it down. The next day, all of a sudden, everything's taken off. We're in commercial because that's what we focused on, not that one's necessarily better than the other, because I know contractors that do both of these of all sizes and can make a ton of money. But for us, the way that my business was set up, we were much more profitable on the commercial end. So that's what we focused on. So you've got to focus down on what it is that you do best, most profitably. And don't try to spread this out and, you know, you're using a shotgun rather than being laser focused on where you make your money, wherever that is. And you've got to know where that is. You've got to break out these separate profit centers and know where the money's being made, so you understand what business you're in. Then we can look at who is your ideal customer. you know, is it the guy that's selling base, you know, that wants to buy a basement? No. And it's with these websites that get so complicated, I can't tell what they're doing. But they're certainly not an expert in the business that I'm looking for. They're a jack of all trades, master of none. People want to deal with experts in their field. So focus that down. Hey, the riches are in the niches. Niche down, and you don't have to do it all. Okay, then where do those ideal customers hang out? That's what you need to find, because if you're doing, you know, radio advertising, well, you're advertising to everybody that's out there of every age, whether they own homes or not. So that may not be an effective way to market. You know, you're just spray and pray. If you know who that ideal customer is, you can laser focus your marketing where you can save a ton of money and be more effective. So you want to be sure that you do that. And then next in this area of your ideal customer, this type of work, why would they buy from you and not your competition? What makes you better? You know, hey, a roof's a roof's a roof, unless you can show them differently, that you can differentiate your business between your competition. Hey, we're better because we've got all of these things. Hey, look at our reviews, for instance. Who are you going to want to work with? Somebody that has 3 Google 5-star reviews, or us that have 300? We've got raving fans. We've got all these people that are willing to stand up for us and recommend us. That's a trust builder. And these are the things that you need to do. Differentiate yourself, because you've got to be different than your competition if you're going to charge more for your work. And you sure as hell had better be charging more for your work. Well, I'm the most expensive guy, you know, in town. I can't charge anymore. Well, that's a crock, because buyers are liars. They're always going to tell you the most expensive. But you've got to be able to show these people why you're better. You're going to do a better job cleaning up. This is all the things that you do. So be sure you're clear on what business you're in, who that ideal customer is, where they hang out, and what makes you different. What makes you better? Why would they want to buy from you? And that really wraps up the importance of what it is that you do, the what, the who, the where, and the why of our customer. And that's a major part of our business planning, which, by the way, you could download that free 1-page business plan on my website at theroofershow.com. Talks about all this, lays this out, and will help you build that plan. The number 3 mistake roofing contractors made in 2021, they don't charge enough money for their work. Period. This is the number 1 reason companies go out of business. It's as simple as that. You're not charging enough. You're trying to be competitive. Oh, I got to be the low bidder. That is crazy. No, you've got to be the high bidder, and you're not bidding your work. You're going out and selling your work. You're showing your customer, your prospect, why you're worth the additional money. When I start working with contractors, usually the first thing I tell them, I don't even need to get into their financials. I can tell you, you're probably not charging enough money. So the first thing you want to do, raise your prices by 15%. Right across the board. Well, I could never do that. They wouldn't buy. How do you know? You've never tried. They raise their prices 50%. They don't lose a job. Nobody bats an eye. And if that's working, then put on another 15%. You've got to make the margin that you deserve. You should be charging the prices based on what your costs are, what you're bringing to the table, and not what everybody else is doing. It doesn't matter. We don't have to be competitive. The hell with everybody else. This is what we charge, and this is why you're getting value from the service that we offer. The 4th mistake roofing contractors made was that they don't understand their numbers. They don't understand their financials, their financial statements, what they mean. I've got a lot of contractors that don't understand how to read a balance sheet, for instance. You've got to be able to understand what these financials mean. And with your balance sheet, you know, these things are simple when you just look at the basics. Basic balance sheet, it's what you owe, what you're owed, and what you own. Those three simple concepts. You've got invoices that you've got to pay them with either cash or receivables. And once you do that, what's left over is what you own. Your retained earnings plus any investments you made into the original company. But the most important numbers, the most important thing you can do with a balance sheet is your cash position. Cash is king. What happens is contractors don't charge enough money, they lose money, and then they run out of cash, period, and they're out of business. So the important number is the ratio, your quick ratio. Really simple, okay? How much cash you got in the bank, and what are your receivables? What do people owe you? And I'm talking true receivables, okay? Because this is another problem that so many contractors have, is their receivables are all screwed up. You should have an aging that you constantly look at and work of current people that owe you money. You just finished the job, for instance, or you just sent out a progress payment. And then you've got 30 days out. Well, they haven't paid you in 30 days. You better be on that phone asking, why haven't you paid us? And then you get into 60 days. Well, if you're in 60 days, man, you're in real trouble because there's a problem there. And if you have called them, you've done all the things that you need to do. And hopefully before all this happened, you've got a lien filed on the property, because that gives you at least some security. But if you get into 90 days, you're probably not going to get the money. So we're not going to count any of that, because whenever I get into 60, 90, I'm always asked, okay, what's going on here? What's up with this Jones job? And they're always, well, there's a story that goes along that. I'm like, ah, forget it. You're probably not going to get paid. So we're not going to put that in the number. So we got cash in the bank, and we got receivables that we're going to convert really in the next, 30, 60 days. And that's our cash. Okay. Now we've got our payables. What are the bills that we owe? And we've got to pay that, because if we don't have money to pay our bills, we're SOL. And that's what happens. What do you owe? Well, particularly you get to the end of the day and you can't pay your taxes. That's what really sucks. So pay your bills, pay your taxes, stay out of trouble, and be able to sleep at night. Also, you want to take your discounts from your vendors. If you can get a 2% discount, that works out to like a 36% return on your money, I think. So if you collect your cash, you've got a strong cash position, you can take your discounts, you can get that huge return. But one of the biggest problems with contractors is that they're undercapitalized. They start off with not enough cash. You got to have a lot of cash to start a roofing business. Most people are on a shoestring. And 80% of contractors go out of business in the first 5 years because they run out of cash because they didn't charge enough money. And you've got to be capitalized. You've got to have cash in the bank, because you're working with a lot of contractors, particularly if you're doing storm work, or you're making the mistake of working for general contractors. You're going to put out the money to put your payroll and your materials, and you're not going to get paid for a while. So you have to be able to finance that money. So cash is king. Collect your cash. Number five mistake is that you don't have processes. You don't have systems built into your business. You should have a process for everything. Here's our sales process. What does that look like? Well, the call comes in. Answer the phone. Who answers it? What happens? They should have a script. called a project discovery sheet. Here is all the questions that you're going to ask so you can pre-qualify these leads that come in. And you don't want to handle everything. If they're not right, if they're not fitting into that ideal customer, that ideal target, refer them away. You don't want to waste your time doing that. Focus on buyers that are going to buy your services for the prices that you charge. And the process continues all the way through the sale, through production. Here's our production process. We get to the end of the job. We've got our post-job inspection. We have asked for the review, the referrals, step by step by step. And then it just comes down to the basics, the basic blocking and tackling. That's how you win a football game. That's how you build a business. And if you're doing it right, business is really boring. I know that may sound strange, but if you're doing the same thing over and over again, you're consistent. That can be boring until you look at your bank account and your financial statements and you're killing it. You got no stress. Things are running smoothly. You're able to take off all this time because you've got it dialed in through your process. Number six, and I see this all the time, is that you're focused on the sales volume, the top number. And that's all you're concerned about. Hey, if I can grow my business, if I can scale my business, I'm at a 10X, 20X, whatever that is. That's fine if you're making money, if you're profitable, if you're hitting your margins, because this is a margin-sensitive business. It is not a volume-sensitive business. You don't make it up in volume. It's not like the airlines where that plane's going regardless, costs the same amount of money, so you want butts in the seats, and you can sell them for $5 because that your costs are all fixed. Our costs are, for the vast majority, are variable costs. Are direct costs that are associated with doing that job. If we didn't have that project, we wouldn't have to buy all the materials. We wouldn't have to do all of this. And by just focusing on that top line, the sales, what tends to happen is you start having slippage. Your margins start to slip because you're not in control. You're growing too fast. And where do you get the people? You can have all the sales. Talk with a lot of contractors. You know, selling is not the problem. It's the production. So if you're selling more than you can produce profitably, what's the point? Because then you're going to start throwing out B and C players and your margin's going to go down. You're going to stop making money. In our case, I'll tell you, we had our biggest year and we didn't make much profit. So we actually scaled back by a couple of million dollars and we were more in control and we ended up making a lot more money. So for me, what I want to do is work less and make more money. Simple. So don't be so focused on that, just that top line. As we say, sales volume is vanity, profit is sanity, and cash is reality. You run out of cash when you're doing so much work. Also, it's a real strain on your cash flow. You're doing all this work. You're paying all this money out. You're getting cash in slower. So that can be a real problem. So don't just focus on the top line. Granted, nothing happens till somebody sells something. You got to have the sales, but you've got to have the profitability also. I call it right-sizing a business. And you can make a lot of money in all sizes of businesses, just not the biggest. So when you're looking at your end goal, your definition of success, don't just pump out your chest and all about ego and saying, oh yeah, I'm doing $50 million. What are you doing? That's a crock. focus on who's making money, because you never know. There's a lot of large companies that go out of business, and a lot of small companies are under the radar, making a ton of money, and they're achieving their goals. So be careful what you wish for. Number seven, I'm wearing all the hats. I'm doing everything. I hear this all the time. Well, that's because you don't know how to delegate or what to delegate the important things so you can focus on working on your business instead of always working in your business, putting out fires all the time. And that is, first off, getting the right positions that you need to hire for. Number next, you need to hire the ideal candidate, the perfect person. Then you need to train them. Constantly train them, hold them accountable, and then get the hell out of the way and let them do their job. This is how you delegate. Or are you an owner that says, you know, they just can't do it right. I can't find any good people that do the job like I would. Well, they're not going to do it the same way. But if you train them, you show them what a good job looks like. Because a lot of guys don't understand. They don't realize what a good job looks like. You just expect this. And they don't really understand. How are they going to do a good job? Be clear on what it is. Work with them. Your job is to be a coach, to coach people, develop them for a long-term goal, and get the hell out of the way and let them do their job. And as we talked about, that's the only way you're going to build in value into your business, a saleable asset. Not to mention, it's the only way that you're ever going to get your free time to be able to do the things that you want to do, whatever those are. The eighth mistake is that they really don't know if they're making money. I'll ask you, hey, is this a profitable company? You're making money? Well, yeah. Well, what does that mean? Okay, first off, you got to realize, okay, you're taking a salary. Your salary should be a regular salary and is part of the overhead. It's not dipping in when you got cash in the bank. You can take a few bucks here and there. No, you need a salary. And if you're running a business really of any size, you got to be making a minimum of 100 grand. Otherwise, why are you doing this? You're taking this huge risk. You're investing a lot of years, and you should be compensated for it. The rule of thumb that I use in a company where, you know, you're talking $2, $3, $4, $5, $6 million, you should be taking a salary of, say, 10% of your sales volume. Just in simple numbers. Okay. So $5 million company, let's say that's 500 grand. Okay. Now that's a salary. That's your overhead. Now, what is your net profit after you've paid all your expenses, your direct costs to do the job? Now you have a gross profit. That gross profit has to generate enough dollars to pay for all your expenses, including your salary. After all of that stuff's done, at the end of the day, hopefully, you're making a good 10%, let's say. And that's the net, net, net. That's what you're going to use to reinvest in your business, to build a strong business, have a big cash reserve, be able to do the marketing that you need to the spend. You're able to pay for good people. You're paying your people better than anybody else, so you can attract the cream of the crop, and you've got to be profitable, and you have to understand. So just, you know, if you're not making 10% salary plus 10% net, you know, maybe you want to take a look at the way that you're doing business. But no, if you're making money in your business or not. Is this a profitable business? Because that's what a buyer is going to look at. They're going to want to see, you know, oh, well, I haven't taken a salary in 3 years. What the hell? And that salary should really be what it's going to cost you to go hire somebody to take your place. So to run this $5 million business, well, you're going to have to pay a lot of money to have somebody come in and do that. Maybe not that much, maybe not the 500 grand, but it's going to cost you a lot of money to have an experienced person like yourself to come in here and run your business and still meet a minimum, say, of 10% net profit. So know your numbers. Number nine is that business owners, contractors, don't have a mentor. Okay, now this would be really number one in my opinion, but I didn't want it to be self-serving. You should have a business coach, somebody to help you achieve your goals, somebody that can step back, see the forest through the trees, that's been there. Here's the mountaintop that you're trying to climb. Don't you want to have an experienced guide to get you there? Or at least a mentor that you can talk to that's a friend or a fellow business person. Another contractor. Reach out to contractors out of your competing area because so many of us just, they want to help. That's why I do this show. It's just helping others out make more money. So get a coach that can help you, somebody that can guide you along, and you want somebody that's been there and done it, that's done the same type of work, that understands the roofing business, and not just somebody that was a concrete contractor necessarily, but somebody that focuses in on what you do. And like I said before, the fit has to be right. Is this what works for you? People learn in different ways. Now, do you learn best from online courses, seminars, or do you have, like me, that big stack of seminar books that I've got collecting dust that sounded great when I was there, and then once they drove away with my money, I'm sitting here with this book and I'm going, God damn it. This is too, there's too much stuff. I don't know where to get started. And this is what I like about one-on-one coaching. This is how I learn. I've got a golf coach. I want somebody that's going to show me my game one-on-one. I don't want to join a group class. I don't want to watch a YouTube video, but that's just me. Everybody does it differently, and there's a lot of great courses out there. There's a lot of great coaches, a lot of programs that do it differently. But what I believe in is a holistic approach to business where you've got to keep our three-legged stool solid, rock solid. We've got to sell work, we've got to do work, and we've got to keep score. Our scorekeeping, we've got to, all three of those legs have to be solid. And because you can sell all the work that you want, just like, the times now, sales is not our problem. It's production that's hard. We can't find the qualified labor to do the job. And then very few contractors like to mess with the numbers. They don't understand the financials. They end up pushing it off to somebody. Oh, I'm going to save money. And this is not an area where you want to save money. You want to have truly qualified people, not your friend down the street, not your spouse necessarily. That generally does not work well. Believe me, I tried it. Also, this is why so many contractors get embezzled. They get ripped off because they don't understand their numbers. They don't know what to check. And, it's that phony account that your bookkeeper sets up with her husband, and they're paying all these bills, and, it's a scam company. Happens all the time. You've got to have safeguards in there. You've got to have somebody that knows what they're doing, and you just have to learn the basics of financial accounting. But all three of those legs have to be solid. That's how I teach my clients, is the whole picture. And a lot of coaches, a lot of courses, it's focused on sales. Well, there's just more to running a business than selling. It gets into that top line. And I guess that's why, you know, I'm kind of boring, is that I'm not talking about 10X and 20X your business and, you know, getting all the testimonials and so forth about how these guys just killed it. Because remember your history. There will be another recession. This is not going to last forever. And so many contractors that I talk to, they've never been through a recession. They've only been in these good times. Because this is unlike any period in history. However, it does repeat itself. This is a cyclical business, a cyclical economy. At some point, it's, you know, hopefully not a big recession, but it's going to slow down. And what would your business look like if you had a 20 or 30% reduction in sales? You've got to recession-proof your business. Be ready for that. And when that does occur, which has happened a number of times, I've gone through a number of recessions, and we've always been prepared for it and have excelled during slow times. Particularly in our business, we were strong in repair, maintenance, coating systems, because big projects weren't happening, but people did need to maintain their roofs. And we were ready for that, and we kicked ass during the slow period. So, long story short, get a mentor, somebody that's been there and seen it and that can take a step back and focus on the whole of your business and be sure you're a solid, profitable, sound foundation in your business. And the 10th biggest mistake that I see roofing contractors making in 2021, which, I don't know, I've got a few others that I think I'm going to run in here, but number 10 is you've always got to be recruiting, you've always got to be training, and you've always got to be retaining. And so many contractors are in this situation now because they don't recruit regularly. They don't understand the importance. This is one of the most important things that you could be doing right now, is constantly recruiting, getting the top A players. And the contractor says, oh, there's nobody good out there anymore. Hey, I've been in this business a long time. I worked with my father, and he said there weren't, you know, there weren't any good people, you know, and everybody, oh, the good old days. No, the good old days weren't so great. I'll tell you, you know, back then, hey, if you're sober enough to climb the ladder, you're hired. Same problem. Today's roofers are better than ever. In my opinion, they're out there. There's plenty of labor. You just have to be able to attract them. How do you do that? One is that you build a brand in your business where everybody wants to work for you. They want to work for winning teams. When your employees are just thrilled, they love working at your business, at our business. Here we are, we've built this team. And when they're sitting down at the bar or they're at church talking with other roofers from other companies, because they all know each other, and they're talking your business up about how great it is, and their friends are saying, well, my boss is a real jerk. He treats me like crap. He doesn't appreciate me. He disrespects me. That's why people leave, not for money necessarily. You better be paying top dollar. That's the ante to get in the game. But people leave because they're not appreciated. Period. They're disrespected. They don't see a future there. What's their career path? What's the training? What are they learning? And this is why you want to be sure that you're out there constantly recruiting. Do you have an employment page on your website that actually makes sense, that makes it look like somebody wants to work there? Do you have a video on that page that has your workers, your real people going, hey, this is a great place to work. This is what you can expect. This is how we do things. That's what you want to have. And you get people to come to check it out at their site. And one thing that worked really well for us is that we had this spring carnival every year, and we would invite the families. And this is, you know, I don't know, Christmas parties. I never did that anymore, you know. Usually everybody gets drunk and gets into a fight. It's like, forget it. But the spring party was great. They'd bring their families, their wives, little kids. You'd have clowns. You'd have this whole carnival going. Everybody loved it. And I just happened to throw this out. Hey, if you know any other guys in the trades, have them come. All are welcome. Well, we would get a lot of these guys come in. I'd get their information. And here you are showing them what a great place this is to work. Hey, we go to baseball games. We do all of these things together, and they love it. And if you've got the wives loving this, this place, hey, what a great spot. What a great fair that you're having. How about the kids? The kids look forward to it each year. They love it. Hey, this is the type of thing that you've got to be doing these days. And not only training them new skills, keeping up with things, they want to learn. And you're paying them to go to these classes and learn. It's a huge return. And then the last part is retaining. You've got these good people. You better hold on to them, because every day your competition is out there pimping your guys. They're trying to poach your people. They're offering them tons of money. Here's a big signing bonus. Come work for us. And you'd better have these guys happy. Otherwise, they're out of here. And they want to work for you. And do those simple things every day. You know, whenever I'd go out to the roof, I'd always take some sandwiches, take some sodas, you know, do something special for the guys. We bring in, you know, the taco truck, whatever it was, to keep everybody, you know, loving what they're doing. And you truly got to enjoy the people that you work with. I sure as hell did. Otherwise, they wouldn't be working for me. I want to know what these guys are doing, not just the key people, but hey, what's going on in your family? Be curious, be interested, and you better truly be interested. You should be. These are the guys that are building your business. So be sure you are constantly recruiting, constantly training, and constantly retaining. Should really be one of your top, really, your number one job is to recruit these guys and coach them and make them better and make this place a great place to work. Well, those are 10, but I'm just going to rattle off a few more, and I think I'll cover this in the next episode, because this is, you know, it's really good stuff. I think it's going to be really productive for everybody. So I'm going to just run through these. But let's say number 11 is not understanding your gross profit. What is your gross profit? And if I ask a contractor, what's your gross profit? And they don't know, I know there's going to be a problem. But your gross profit is, you take your sales, you got $100,000 in sales, it costs you $60,000 to do the work in your direct costs, your costs of goods sold, you've got your labor, you've got your material, your subcontractors, your toilets, your permits, everything that's associated with that job. The definition of direct cost of goods sold, is if you didn't have that job, you would not have those costs, okay? Because you wouldn't have to go out buy the materials. You're not doing the job. You wouldn't have the labor for all of those things. Those are your direct costs. And that line below that is our gross profit. And that gross profit is not only a dollar amount, but a percentage. And that's the margin. That's the number that I want to know, because that's how you're going to measure the profitability of your jobs, each and every job, and your markup. How are you going to mark these jobs up if you don't understand what your gross profit is? I'm not even going to get into the difference between margin and markup and how to mark up your jobs in this one. That's a whole nother topic. But Know your gross profit and realize that, what's good gross profit? Well, your gross profit, first off, it all depends on which costs you have below and above the line. And contractors make this mistake all the time. So much of their direct costs are down in their overhead. You've got insurance that's associated with your guys, your workers' comp, your insurance on your workers. Now, you've got insurance on your administrative staff also. That's overhead cost. But the costs of your insurance on your workers, that's a direct cost. You know, vacation time for your guys, that's a direct cost. You know, small tools, that's a direct cost. All of those things are up above the line. And so if you've got all those things up there, your gross profit is going to be less because you have less expenses in your overhead to cover. It works out the same. You know, so people say, well, I can't do that, I'll lose money. No, it's it's the same amount. You're going to have the same net. Hopefully you got a big, that 10% net profit, but it's having that set up correctly. It's having your chart of accounts set up correctly. And that's important. Finally, and also, I have found a person, a bookkeeper, that does this really well, that will come in and set up your chart of accounts, get your financials organized, all for a set price. It's really inexpensive. But that's how you get it set up, and that's how you know what your true job costs are. Period. Otherwise, you don't know if you're really losing money or making money on the job. So get that squared away. Know what your gross profit is. And then, is that enough to cover gross profit dollars coming down to cover your overhead and make your profit? But understand that and know that number, because that's one of the first questions I'm going to ask you. All right. Well, that wasn't a very fast rattle, so I'm just going to go over these things real quick, and then I'm going to put them into next week's show. So now we are on number 12, is that they're not leveraging technology. There's so many great programs, apps out there, Company Cam, Sumo Quote, all the tools that you should be using to make your business better, to make it more consistent. 13, huge. You don't job cost your jobs on an individual basis. And this is a true test of a profitable company, because, you know, only 20% of contractors really do regular job costing. And what a coincidence, there's only 20% of top performers that really make a lot of money. And it's no coincidence. You need to job cost your jobs so you can see where you're making your money and where you're not. You do a post-mortem. You've got your estimated costs versus your actual costs. What's the variance? Did you lose money because your materials were screwed up? Did you lose money because the labor budget went over? Where is it? You need to know that so you can course correct. All right, I think we're on 14. 14 is that they don't have a website that converts. Their website sucks. You know, your website should be doing all the heavy lifting. It's the hub of your marketing. It's your showroom. Make sure it's clean and neat and organized. And when they come to that, first off, a website, all it does, it attracts qualified visitors. Those visitors need to be converted into appointments. Those appointments need to be converted into sales. That's all that matters. That's your website. And if it doesn't do that, it sucks. Get a better website. Improve this. And you've got to stay on top of this. This is money well spent, but it's got to be clear. Clear on what it is that you do, right? You know, you got 5 seconds to show them that visitor. Once you've attracted qualified visitors, that's another topic, But those qualified visitors have to realize, hey, I'm in the right place. This is exactly what I'm looking for. I'm going to go in deeper. They're going to spend more time there. Your about page, they always go to your about page. You better have good photos of yourself, who's running the business, your people. Stop getting all these funky, stock people, these photos. It's like, hey, they know these are not your guys. Don't use them. Come up with your people and use professional photos. The longer they stay on your site, the more likely they are to buy. Period. Get a good website that converts. Number 15, they've got too many people for the size business that they are. They don't have a clear organizational chart with who's doing what, who's reporting to who, and what's going on. And this is a big problem. What I see, some contractors, there's a huge storm comes through. They got all this work, so they start throwing bodies at it. And then work slows down. It's like all of a sudden, I got all these people here, and none of them are doing the right things. They weren't hired for the position. First off, they didn't have the clear positions. Get your positions clear with a great, awesome job description so it's clear what they do, and then hire the best people for that job. How does it work within your process? Is it smooth? Otherwise, eliminate the position. You got to keep control of this. You are running a business, not an employment agency. Unfortunately, people over the years, they just kind of find job. Oh, this is a good guy. Let's find him a position. Blah, blah, blah. And the next thing you know, nothing's working. Or you've got somebody in your office that is a freaking cancer, somebody that's bad mouthing everybody. That's going to spread. Get rid of those people. You only want people that are touting on how great you are, period. Cheerleaders. That's what you want there. 16, there's no KPIs, no key performance indicators. What are you measuring? It should be really simple. You have a dashboard. You're driving down the highway. You've got a dashboard on your car. You can see if you're running out of gas. You can see if your engine's overheating. You can see how far you've gone, what you're doing. It tells you everything. You don't drive down the highway with duct tape over your dashboard. You've got to see what's going on, looking ahead. You're looking forward. And that's what your key performance indicators do. We set up a dashboard of the important numbers that you measure. One of them is your cash position, as I said. Two, are you making profit? Three, what's your close rate? Are you selling the jobs that you should? These are the basic numbers that you've got to know. You take a look at those every day, and you understand what's going on in your business. This is how you run your business, by the numbers. Key performance indicators, KPIs. Number 17, their contract sucks. Okay. If you got burned with these material prices because you didn't have a price escalation clause in your contract, you made a mistake, or you're not getting paid. It only takes one time to get screwed. I've had a number of these episodes on with, can't think of her name right now, but she's an attorney that writes contracts. This is who we use to have your contracts written. Like everything, we've got a set price. It's a great price to write your contract. Get everything in there that you need so you're not going to get screwed. You're not going to lose your money. You've got to have a good contract that shows how you're going to get your change orders. Everything has to be laid out there. And you've got people that are, using, these standard contracts that aren't going to protect them from anything. And you are going to get hosed. And if it happens to be a $100,000 job or something like that, you're in real trouble. Number 18, and the last one, because the hook's coming out. I'm going to get grabbed off stage here, deservedly so. But number 18 is not having an operational budget, okay, an operating budget, where you know what your expenses should be. And the way that you set this up is just similar to a home budget, but You've got a spreadsheet, and every month you need to know what your sales are targeted for. What's your estimated sales? What is that goal that they're going for? And you just don't take a number and divide it by 12, because that's not how our business operates. It's a seasonal business. You have big months, you have little months. And, you know, December, here we are in December. Well, that was always a crappy month because, one, here it's raining. And, two, it's Christmas time and you just don't get much done. You know, people, we're given time off and so forth. So it's a low month. That month has got to be made up somewhere. And generally, that's in the summer months. Our big months, September, October, July, in there. But you've got to look at those realistically. Do you have the labor to do that? You know, we could say we're going to do $10 million that month, but if we've only got the production crews to do $3 million, it's not going to happen. So we can't use those numbers. So you take a look at historical information. You take a look at what you really expect to do, what's capable. You don't want to use this pie in the sky number. Be realistic. And we've got our sales. Then we've got our margins. What's our margin target? All right, we talked about our gross profit. Okay, then we've got every line item that we've got here. We've got, you know, truck expenses, leases, our phone and our internet and all of these things that are overhead costs. Your salary, the administrative salaries. All of this has to be in there and laid out. What are your big expenses? Well, some of the big expenses that we had was that we had to pay these huge insurance deposits, you know, at the beginning of the, it was big number. And, but, you know, that's really more of your cash flow analysis. But these are the things that you need to know. Maybe you have some big expenses in certain months. Those need to be in there and accounted for. And then we have a target each month. What's our budget? And we're looking at it just like we do a job cost. We've got our budgeted versus actual and our variance. Where did we go wrong? We're losing money on our jobs. Well, did we sell it too cheap or did we lose it in production? It's one of those two things is what screws up the gross profit. So be clear on that. Have an operating budget. You know, it's something that I fight with. It's a pain in the ass, but it is really necessary to run a successful business. All right, I'm going to stop now. And that's certainly gone long enough, but hopefully you got some value. Hopefully you got a ton of value out of this, because these are the mistakes that I'm seeing over and over again by not only the contractors that I'm working with, but contractors that I speak with, contractors that I have known in the past, problems that I had in my business. I understand. Do what you can on those. Let me know if I can help. Be sure to get in touch with me. I'd love to hear from you. Send me a text, 510-612-1450. Let me know what you think. Is this a good list? Are there things that should be in here that aren't, or am I full of it? Whatever. I like to get feedback. Feedback is the breakfast of champions, good or bad. Get it and give it. All right, until next week, I really appreciate everybody listening. We'll see you next week on The Roofer Show.